Welcome back to the Discovering Forestry podcast. My name is Corey Lofi. I'm one of your hosts, alongside the star of the show and other host, the one, the only, Joe Aitken. Joe, you broke the mold, man, but how are you doing today? How are you feeling?
You know what? It's good. It's good. Anytime you and I get the chance to talk trees, it's a good day. I kind of look forward to it. You know, it's funny how we do it all day long, but I think you and I are such like-minded that we really are passionate about what we do, and hence the reason why we started the podcast. But it's fun. I love talking to arborists all day, even though some of them, after I hang up, I just want to pull three hairs out of my head, the last three I got. But I had as we work up to TCI Expo, you know, we got some good talk bits coming up. And more I think about what we're going to talk about at TCI Expo, the more and more prevalent it really is in this industry, that I don't think there's enough people out there that do what you and I do. And how do we make it exciting, Corey? That's the question you're going to have to sleep on tonight.
I'll be so excited I won't be able to sleep. It's funny because I think being a tree professional, yes, it's a job, but it's also a lifestyle. And you and I finish our day to day, we come here and we talk trees. Chances are you're like me, where you've got family members, you've got neighbors, other people that just want to ask you questions about trees. And some of the things that I've always wondered is, how are they different around the world? So we've had guests on before. We've had some from the UK, we've had Italy, and we've had Australia, but we've never had anybody from New Zealand. And I'm excited for tonight's guest.
Before we lead into our guest, and he's awesome, but I was thinking, we're talking about what nerds we are when we talk about trees. Before we got on the recording tonight, I'm actually texting a guy from Northern Michigan about a new cross-cut saw, like I need another saw. And I'm like, so all I do is, even on my daytime off, I'm thinking trees and tree stuff and ropes. So I'm wondering if that is something that happens on this side of the world, or maybe we'll have to ask our guest tonight, is it the same over on the other side? So, Corey, why don't you do the honor and the pleasure of introducing our guest tonight?
Sounds good. Well, our guest tonight comes all the way from New Zealand, which is the Southern Hemisphere, close to Australia. I was prepping for this conversation, Joe, you and I, North America, we're heading into fall. We're heading into autumn and into winter. They're on the other side of the equator. They're heading right into the growing season. So it's pretty exciting. But anyhow, our guest we met over a couple of pints when we were in Albuquerque, New Mexico at ISA. And without further ado, I'd like to bring on Mr. Jack Harris from New Zealand. Jack, how are you?
Hey, guys. Yeah, it's doing good. Yeah, you're right. It's a beautiful sunny day out there today, and it's getting warm and everything's growing and, ramping up.
I think we had flurries this weekend up north. But
wow, really? Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. What's amazing, Jack, is that here we are. We met in Albuquerque, had a great time. You're a great guy. We had a lot of fun. And here you are on the podcast, a day and a half time or a day ahead in the middle of the afternoon, while Corey and I are sipping on our evening cocktail, ready to put the kids to bed. Man, you're in the smack dab in the middle of your day.
I am. Yeah. It's 1:45 in the afternoon on a Wednesday. I'm smack dab in the middle of my work week, actually.
Well, Jack, why don't you tell us and tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? Where are you from? How long you been in the tree world? And what are you currently doing today?
I've been thinking about that question. So I am a sales manager at a large arboricultural company. So company's called TreeTech, or TreeTech Specialist Tree Care. So we're based in Christchurch, in the South Island of New Zealand. That's where I am now, and I've worked on and off for these guys for quite a while, probably 10, 11 years, over two stints. So I was thinking about how I got into trees, and what it was I finished school, and I must have been sort of 18, and I was working for a construction company, actually, and I think was right in between the two big earthquakes that we had in Christchurch. So there was heaps of demolition work and heaps of construction work on the go, and I was started off working in that straight out of school, because I wasn't, you know, a lot of friends were going off to university and wasn't totally sold on that idea. And I was working in construction, and then one day, just doing this really horrible like demolition job, just scraping out an old plaster ceiling, old like lath and plaster ceiling and walls, and scraping it out and taking it outside with like wheelbarrows, and it was just like full mask and overalls and horrible. And I was outside, and there were some guys outside working on the pruning the street trees. And I was like, man, they're having way more fun than I am. They're working outside in the sun, you know, in a little crew, and pruning some trees and stuff. And then I ended up talking to my brother, because he'd worked in ARB for a while, for a few years. Ended up talking to him, and I was like, oh, you did a bit of tree work and stuff like that. Got talking to him about it, and he said, oh yeah, and it was really cool. He really enjoyed it when he did it. That's kind of how I got into it. So I ended up moved down south to a city called Dunedin to study arboriculture. We've only got sort of two. We've got one place in the South Island and one place in the North Island to study and get qualified as an arborist.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So you sort of have to, yeah, most people move to study, or you can do an apprenticeship. Most places don't offer a full apprenticeship program. So yeah, I moved down there, and then as soon as I started studying it, I just really, really loved it, basically. Yeah.
Now, when you're talking about apprenticeship, you know, I was curious, as, and I'll play ignorant, because obviously we're so far apart. We met you at an ISA conference. Is ISA strongly recognized over there yet?
No, it's not. Yeah. So it's not, it's been a real struggle over the years, actually, for us trying to bring in arborists from the States. And the qualification from ISA, it basically doesn't, as far as the government is concerned, at least, it doesn't translate to our qualification. So,
I don't bring that to be disrespectful to New Zealand or ISA, and I give ISA a lot of credit for pushing, because International Society of Arboriculture is international. If there's a want and a need, they're going to be there. But I was curious, as you talked about apprenticeship and getting into the business, and your story is so much like so many of our listeners, that they're like, man, I seen it, it looked cool, man, it sucked being inside. I was a carpenter too. I know exactly what you meant. But has it developed in New Zealand to be like a municipal, commercial, residential, utility, you know what, urban forestry and forestry? Is there a separation, or do most companies kind of like, your day-to-day do it all?
Yeah, so at TreeTech, we definitely do it all. But we are, we're the largest privately owned company in New Zealand. We've also got like Asplund over here, They're obviously
you really
pretty massive. Who else is big? TreeScape, big here, but yeah, we're the biggest privately owned company. So we've got about 100 people. Fluctuates up and down a little bit, but yeah, we work in all those areas that you just mentioned. A lot of the smaller.
It has to do with trees. You guys are doing it.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, anything to do with trees, we don't like. We don't like saying no to anything, so we end up getting into a whole lot of stuff. But yeah, a lot of the smaller guys around here, you know, it's just a two or three guys with a truck and chipper. They just stick to residential kind of work.
We see a lot of the same stateside here, but and I know you were just in the States in Albuquerque for a very short time. So that's a small sample size, but yeah. the conversations you had at the conference, do you think there are any stark differences between how arboriculture is performed or looked at in the States versus New Zealand?
Yeah, I guess there'd be a couple of things. I guess firstly, I was just really impressed with the level of education and the level of knowledge that all those guys have that we met over there. Again, it goes back to that ISA qualification being recognized kind of thing, because after that I was like, wow, those guys have a huge amount of knowledge. It's a real shame that it's not seen as equivalent when sure. People from the States come over to New Zealand. And it was really interesting. There were so many people at that conference that we in New Zealand, you wouldn't really think of those people as being like an arborist. It was, you know, people from environmental backgrounds, people with ecology degrees, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then maybe they get into climbing and then they do their ISA, like, you know, certified tree worker, but they've already got a degree in something related. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool to hear. It makes you feel complete, you know. It really also shows you just how diverse our industries are, because a lot of people that you know that Joe and I work with and have worked with, some have gone to school for this. Others never went to school. Some did apprenticeship programs. Other people, you know, went to school to be doctors. And then they said, hey, enough of the office. I'm going to go climb trees and drag brush. So it's kind of cool to hear that there's some diversity.
And there's others that just worked their way up from dragging brush to running a company. So
that's it.
It's such a, even here in the States, there's always an opportunity for up. If that makes sense, Jack, there's always... I think it's one of the last industries, we talk about the green industry, where if you do work hard, you can advance.
That's a good point. Let's talk about that, Joe, because you're 100% right. No, we've never talked about that.
No, and it's a great thing. And I think what I wanted to bring up to Jack is that this is an international industry. Now, ISA is going to be celebrating 100-year anniversary next year. So it's taken 100 years to get the US and North America to where arboriculture is widely known. So I'm not saying it's going to take Australia and New Zealand 100 years, but it takes time of culture, proper practices, calling out improper practices. Before you get to that level of professionalism and just the simple fact that you and your team were in Albuquerque, New Mexico at an ISA conference is a perfect example of your desire to elevate the bar where you're at. So I commend you on that.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's interesting. I guess it's over the time that I've been in the industry, it definitely took me took me a while to sort of see where the possibilities were and see, you know, how far I could take it. And then, yeah, like you say, just work hard. And I just sort of kept saying yes to things and ended up doing what I'm doing now.
That's so you've spent the time dragging the brush and
So I did my qualification in Dunedin, and it's a little bit, it's kind of an interesting arrangement because you get signed off and competent and you get all your tickets, everything, you know, using a chainsaw, using a chipper, and then, but you don't really have that time under your belt necessarily. Although it's full on, it was a year long qualification when I did it, but it was 6 days a week basically.
Holy cow!
So you get through a lot of stuff pretty quick, but then by the end of it, I think, so some guys, I'll put it this way, some guys come out of there thinking that they're, you know, real hot stuff and can do everything. But yeah, like you say, that I moved back up to Christchurch and started working at Tree Tech sort of shortly after that. And yeah, just dragging brush basically, and then climbing and all that kind of stuff.
I want to jump in real quick. You know, when we talk about you're breaking your way through the industry. Now, is this an industry regulation or is this just Tree Tech? Is this just the company's policy? Or is it a provincial, I'm not sure what your counties are called or how the countries broke up. Is it a country or a New Zealand ordinance or a regulation, or is it just the company that you work for now, that is their protocol to experience knowledge? Does that make sense? Is it government pushing the training, or is it you just working for a good company that want you guys to know?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So yeah, I guess one of the struggles in New Zealand, and it's definitely getting better. I don't know what it's like where you guys are, but calling yourself an arborist, it's not a protected term. It's not like here you can't go out and call yourself a builder if you're not a registered qualified builder. Anybody can get a truck and put arborist on the side of it. And I guess, yeah, for the industry, it's not the greatest thing. But I think most, you know, any reputable bigger companies are definitely pretty big on making sure everyone's trained, everyone's qualified, everyone knows what they're doing. Even, you know, within our company, like we have a training manager. He runs our apprenticeship program and also ongoing training for everyone else, and internal competencies and a whole lot of stuff, you know, being developed sort of all the time.
And that's within the company. That's within your company.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. But yeah, there's nothing really to, you know, even without doing a course or anything, there's guys around that just call themselves an arborist and go and do really, really rough work.
Joe, do you have that in Michigan? I see a lot of like tree service and tree cutters, but you don't call
body in Michigan, and it is not recognized by the state as a trade. So we've tried for years to do lobby days and go to Capitol, and you know, I in my heart, because I've been in it for as long as I have, do believe that there's a skilled trade here, and I do believe that there should be a code or a tax code or something that represents this industry, because this industry is dangerous. Now, an electrician has to have an apprenticeship, plumber, pipe fitter, HVAC, built like you said, Jack, if you're going to be a builder, you had to have had, and you got to take a building test to become a licensed builder. And I think what's sad in this industry is as we grow, and if you look at the statistics of certified arborists, and even just not just certified as members trying to acquire knowledge, how can this not be strong enough to where we can be a skilled trade internationally?
Yeah.
I still think it's mind-boggling. Even Michigan, You know, and we get to the point where I'm not going to do a lobbyist no more. I don't know what the answer on that is, but yeah, Jack, we could have a truck and a chipper. And there used to be a guy, Charlie in the Chainsaw was his name. It was like one guy, a pickup truck and a chainsaw, and he would cut shit up for you.
And if that's the lifestyle that some people want, hey, good for you. But, you know, I think what the three of us and a lot of our listeners are trying to do is we are trying to do right, not only by the tree and by our reputation, but our reputation as arborists and professionals who actually come to work and apply ourselves. We're not just whacking things.
Or that doesn't matter the size of the company. Charlie and the Chainsaw could be a certified arborist with the credentials doing it right with the PPE gear on.
Sure.
I think that's my point is that
put
the chaps on, put your hard hat on, put your leather gloves on and cut Mrs. Jones' little cherry tree down for $150, but represent, be safe and put it in the back of your pickup truck for 50. That's okay.
Yes. Yes.
I'm saying that you can't, like I said, Jack, you work for a big company. ArborJet's kind of a medium sized company to that. I work with single tree care guys and I work with guys with five guys.
Sure.
I don't think it's the size of the company that dictates the professionalism.
No, nor the appearance. Because ooh. I, just like you said, I mean, we had a guest on, I believe Kevin Bingham, right? Didn't he run a little outfit? He was a single owner operator and he ran it off of a bicycle or something.
Jack, you know the rope wrench and the rope runner, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Kevin Bingham that developed that is a friend of mine and he lives here in Michigan. And when he started, he came up through the industry working for a few companies. And when he got more knowledgeable, he realized that the companies he was working for just wasn't the I don't want to say caliper, wasn't striving for the same objectives of what he thought tree care should be. So he went on his own. Now he owns Singing Tree. When Kevin did that, he had a mountain bike and he made a little trailer that hooked on the back of the mountain bike. And he would drive around Metro Detroit on his bicycle doing tree work. Now, obviously he's not chipping and brushing, you know, lemon, but he would get big stuff down and homeowner responsible for cleanup, but he did it so professionally. Wow.
That's cool.
That's what I mean. You could be a one guy in a pickup truck, but be the best one guy in a pickup truck that you possibly can be.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I think, Jack, you guys are a trendsetter over there. And I think that by you yourself and Tree Tech, I think you guys are going to push the industry to have to do that.
Yeah. We're trying to. I mean, a lot of it just comes back to that, you know, just educating customers, educating the public, you know, talking to them about what, you know, what the best way of doing things actually is. And, you know, they might already have a quote from someone that's half the price and they're going to do a really rough job and do something really, really dodgy to the tree. And it's just being able to have those conversations with those people and, you know, just explain that there's more up to date or more modern ways of doing things.
Joe and I are both smiling here because we have the same issue stateside.
Jack, you said exactly what 90% of our guests have said. It's educating your customer. And we had Craig Bachman on recently, and Corey and I had a great conversation on pre-qualifying customers. And he had a brilliant couple of statements. And one was, if he senses it on the phone, it's almost like a phone interview for the customer to him. Like, oh, I already called three guys. Well, then I'm not your guy. If you call three guys, hopefully those three guys can take care of you. And I think more people have to do that. And he was brilliant. And he pre-qualifies the desire. You're probably busy, and believe me, Corey and I appreciate you taking the time and smack dab in the middle of your work week. And it is actually hump day too. It's right in the middle of the day. But you gotta, it comes to a point where you just can't take everything, that you have to take the right thing. for you and your company.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, yeah. I think what's amazing is that it's not just here, Corey and Jack, you nailed it too. It's there too. Shoot.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Well, and Jack, you and your company are raising the bar because I don't know if you've talked to the right people, or maybe it was the owner of your company who had some kind of affiliation, but ISA International will be in New Zealand in just a few short years, right?
Yeah. 2025. 20? And it's coming around pretty quick.
Wow.
Yeah. It's going to be really cool. Corey,
you might have to beep this out, but Corey and I are going to work our butts off on being so helpful that we're going to have to be there. So
we're going to have to,
I would love more than anything to share a pint with you in New Zealand, talking about trees at a conference.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be very cool. We'll have a decent beer, a local beer.
Yeah. It's funny. So has craft beer, and this is another tree topic, but has craft beer and, you know, small batch wine, has that become a thing in New Zealand as well? Or is it just trendy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably calmed down a bit, actually. Yeah. It was, a few years ago, it was getting pretty crazy, but yeah, there's some local places around here that are making pretty good local beer. Yeah.
Good.
Well, a lot of organic wines, that kind of stuff coming in.
You'll have to save some of that for when we get there. But
yeah, Jack, definitely.
As we're wrapping up this conversation, is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know? Keep in mind, most of them are from the States. Is there anything you want our listeners to know about either their careers or how you perceive trees, or how the people you work with perceive trees that we might not know? We just don't know what we don't know. So what kind of advice or what kind of direction would you go from there?
I think just picking up on the career thing, I guess for me, I was probably a bit sad when I stopped climbing trees. I haven't climbed a tree for a few years now. I used to climb a lot, like day after day, every day. when I moved into doing, you know, different kind of roles and more of that office-based kind of work, I guess it's been really, really rewarding moving into that. And I've just been, if Chris, the owner of the company, you know, thought I could do something or wanted me to do something, I just would just say yes, basically. And yeah, hey, I'll give it a go. You know, I wouldn't think that, you know, when I studied to be an arborist, probably wasn't really expecting I'd be managing a sales team one day, but it's actually really cool. I really enjoy it. Yeah.
And that's just a testament to hard work, being dedicated, being committed to yourself and that company, because he gave you opportunities and you had the mind to say, yeah, absolutely. I don't know how to do it, but I'll figure it out. So
props, yeah. And it's props still, yeah, thanks. Thanks for that. It's still, still talking to people about trees, still really, you know, engaged in the tree side of things. I was just before this, I was going through a few reports that one of our consultant arborists had done for one of my clients. It's still, trees are still a big part of my day, which is cool.
And believe it or not, you could not do your job at the level that you do it without the experience that you have doing it. And that's that you can't get, you can't overlook. You couldn't do what you do. So to hire someone as a sales arborist without the years of experience in the field and knowing what it takes to get the job done, you can't do it. So, and you know what? I have a lot of trust in the owner of your company too. He's a good man, and he put you there for a purpose, and I hope you're enjoying it. So keep up.
Thank you. Cheers.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Jack, really do appreciate you taking the time. Joe, always a pleasure having you on, talking trees with both of you. So, Jack, we're coming for you. We're coming. Zealand now. We're coming.
Yeah. What about Atlanta next year? You guys going to be there?
Joe. Oh, well, you got no idea how involved I'm in with Atlanta. So you better have team. Oh, I can't even tell you that because you guys are amazing. I'm going to give you some hints offline. I can't tell you now. So, but we saw, I can't give it to you now on the air, but I'm going to give you some pointers afterwards.
Okay. I can't wait. Yeah.
Awesome.
Hopefully we'll make it over to Atlanta next year as well before New Zealand.
Oh, that'd be awesome to see you there.
I'm working on it. I'm working on a plan.
Awesome. Thank you, Jack. We're going to sign off now and really do appreciate you. So thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, great topic today.
Yes, and lots of good information.
Yeah, probably one of our best yet.
If you enjoyed the podcast or have topics you would like to discuss, please send them to discoveringforestry@gmail.com. And please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Corey.
Signing out.